that's right. We're over here at Sharp Facets Gallery. That's right. And I'm Ann Eller. And today, my very special guest on Meet Me at the Diner, Michael Genevieve. So how you doing, Michael?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
How's the theater over there?
It's
the Opera House. Excuse me.
The Opera House. Yes,
the Opera House.
We're talking about the Opera House. Yeah. Yes, it's doing quite well. We're very happy. Our attendance this summer has been up after kind of a little slump last year that we had in attendance and things. It seems to be picking back up, and a lot of our shows, the last production, Wedding Bells, most of those performances sold out for us, so we were delighted. And it looks like Greater Tuna that opens Friday night at 8 o'clock. We've got some full houses for that already, so we're excited.
Well, that is terrific. Now, I saw your picture in the paper this week. You were kind of dressed in red. What's the deal here? I mean, are you switching up here,
yeah,
Michael?
Yeah, okay. The Index Journal, I'll get those guys. Yeah,
You'll take promotion any way you
nice
can get it.
That's a nice embarrassment when you have a daughter who's a senior in high school to see her father on a full-page picture in a red dress. But in Greater Tuna, David Eller and I play all the characters in Tuna, Texas, all the men, women, children, even the animals, 22 characters that we do, and it's the third smallest town in Texas. So in addition to all the characters that we have to create and all the voices we have to do, it's also a quick change show. It's kind of like magic.
Yes.
You're out on stage and you, as one character, you have a line and the other person says one sentence and then you're back out there, literally in a matter of seconds, in a whole new costume, head to toe, whole new character, an entirely new scene that you're doing. So it is quite a challenge, but it's one of the most fun shows that I've ever done.
Well, you said you had done that one. When did you do it?
Well, the first time we did it at the Opera House was way back in 1988. And we did it a number of times. But it's been 10 years since we've done the show in Abbeville. And it's hard to believe. It's probably the single most requested play ever at the Abbeville Opera House. So we've been wanting to bring it back for a number of years, and we decided, hey, this would be the summer season to do that. And so we open, as I said, Friday night's going to run every weekend, Friday and Saturday nights at 8 and Saturday afternoons at 3, I think through August the 22nd.
Wow. So there's lots of opportunity to go see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No excuse, and I promise we'll make you laugh.
Well, you know, I think that's one thing we need more than anything else right now is a good laugh, don't we?
Oh,
I agree. We
need
some escapism.
Yes, absolutely. With everything the way it is right now, I think audiences want to be entertained, and they want to come in and for a couple of hours just forget about all the things that they're having to deal with all day. And Greater Tuna, it'll do that for you.
Now, how are you accomplishing these quick changes?
Well, we have a number of dressers. Those are the people backstage that help us, and probably miles and miles of Velcro. you'll see a character, for example, it opens with two radio disc jockeys who are on the local Tuna, Texas radio station, OKKK, and they start out with the early morning show, and the thread that connects all the citizens in Tuna, which is, I think I said, Texas's third smallest town, is the fact they're all listening to the radio. So you hear the radio show, but then you come up into the kitchen of Bertha Bue Miller, and she's there listening to the radio, and then her kids are coming down for breakfast, and she's having to deal with them, and then we're back at the radio station. Or people come into the station, probably just the way they do here with you, and cut little PSAs or ads for their business. Dee Dee Snavely of Dee Dee's Used Weapons, she's in the radio station.
Wait a minute, Dee Dee's Used Weapons?
Yes, that's right, yes. If Dee Dee's can't kill it, it's immortal. Anyway, they've got, we have all these different characters that come in and out of the show just remarkably fast. So it's, our dressers backstage are back there. We've got a huge backstage area. Everything's all laid out. And, but we don't just change a hat or a shirt. I mean, it's a complete head-to-toe change from men to women to children to whatever it is. And we couldn't do it without them. I mean, it's...
They're as important as the two of you being on stage.
Absolutely. The break we get in this show is when we get to act in the scenes. the work in the show is getting... Because you leave stage and you want it to be casual and slow moving and you walk off the stage, but as soon as you hit the wings, it's a mad day. There are sometimes I don't stop. I'm taking wigs and hats off as I'm running, and there are dressers. There'll be three dressers who will have a suit. For example, I play a character named Finus Bly, who has run for city council every year that there's been an election for 14 years. He's never gotten elected, never even come close. But he calls the radio station to announce that he will once again be a candidate for Tunis City Council. I'll make a mad dash off stage right, and there will be dressers holding out a suit that has it's split up the back.
So you're not actually having to put the pants
on. So it looks like, when I come out, it looks like I've got a jacket and a shirt and a bow tie and the whole thing. But I've just stepped into it from the back as I'm walking, and someone Velcros it up as I'm walking, or actually kind of jogging.
Right.
20 years ago, I was running, but now, yeah.
Now you're a jogger.
Now I'm jogging, yeah. I'll be in a walker before we
The next time you do it, you'll be in a walker.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. But so then we'll make that move, and the last thing I'm doing just as I'm coming in, I'm putting some glasses and a hat on, and I'm going out, and I'm on the phone calling the radio station. So it's a challenge physically, because you don't want to step out on stage and be out of breath, and then you're not able to say your lines and things. So, I mean, it's probably the most demanding show in that respect of anything that I've ever done, but it's also the most fun, because it's not really like doing a play. It's a comedy bit, and it sketches, there are soliloquies, but then you get to act with, like David and I have scenes that we do, but then there are sometimes we're talking directly to the audience, or we're speaking into a microphone and doing, Petey Fisk is a character I play, he's one of my favorite characters, he runs the Greater Tuna Humane Society.
Okay.
So he's always coming on doing PSAs for the Humane Society and
can we have an example?
Petey Fisk?
Well, because you're right here on the radio.
This is Petey Fisk speaking to you for the Greater Tuna Humane Society. I'd like to ask each of you to take a minute and think about ducks. It's tough being a duck. Cartoons portray ducks as genetic mutants with speech impediments. But the very word duck itself, when used as a verb, means to rapidly lower one's body position. So if you say duck to a person, they don't know whether you're talking about a bird or an accident. And the Chinese eat their feet. Now, you may not realize it, but we have a duck crisis situation in the Greater Tuna area. Ever since the government flooded Buckner Basin, the wild ducks have had no nesting grounds left. So you send your homeless ducks to me, Petey Fisk, and I will personally relocate them in unflooded areas. This is Petey Fisk speaking to you for the Greater Tuna Humane Society. Thank you.
Oh, that's terrific, Michael. Hey, listen, we're going to have to hear a word from our sponsors, but don't go away. Maybe I'll get some more characters out of Michael Genevieve here. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
People like to call in and comment on what we're talking about
here. Yeah.
That's right. They said the... I didn't exactly understand the list. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah. Actually, what Betty Lippman just called, she said, we need more plays like this here rather than more children plays. Real plays. Can you bring...
Real plays. Yeah.
Can you just bring your troupe here? That's what she says.
Here, she's in Greenwood.
Greenwood, right.
Yeah,
and you're in Abbeville.
We're 12 miles away, Betty. I mean, just get in the car, drive on over to Abbeville here. It's hard to move that. It's a 100-year-old opera house, and it's kind of hard to get that on the truck to get over to Greenwood. But
actually, you might need a tour bus to come from Greenwood over there to Abbeville.
Hey,
You could do that.
85% of our attendance is tour bus operators. We do so many senior citizens, church groups, and tour bus operators. And really, we probably have more people from outside the state of South Carolina than we do here in
why do you think that is? Isn't it just so funny that, you know, here we have such great entertainment right here.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Yet we have to go to Atlanta or Charlotte or someplace
exactly.
like that.
And then coming to Abbeville, we have people from really Tennessee, North and South Carolina. We have about 35 tour bus operators that work with us throughout the year on shows. And I guess if you lived in New York, there'd probably be people that hadn't seen the Statue of Liberty or something. But then here you've got the Abbeville Opera House or the State Theater of South Carolina. But so many of the locals have never even been in.
Right.
They've never seen a show
exactly.
there, but they've never even gone through to see this incredible 100-year-old theater. That we're going to be starting our 101st winter season in October.
Isn't that unbelievable?
This year.
And how long have you been there? You've been there, what, 30?
I've been there about 98, 99 years now.
You don't, you look awful good, Michael, for 98, 99 years.
Yeah, I've had a charmed life. No,
and a daughter in high school. Man, are you in good shape?
Thank you. It's the certain drugs that they get. This is my 30th summer theater season in Abbeville. So,
and you just actually ran across Abbeville when you used to tour all the time, all around,
that's
right?
That's right. Abbeville was just a two-weekend engagement. What? Abbeville? We performed from West Virginia to Florida, mainly resorts and dinner theaters and that kind of thing. And George Settles, who was really the driving force behind the Abbeville Opera House, he had seen us perform at Amelia Island or, Fernandina Beach someplace, Hilton Head, and invited us to come. He said, we want to see what the response would be to a summer season of shows in Abbeville, but we know we can't do it as a community theater season. The time requirement and trying to put something together in a summer stock manner would perhaps be a little hard for us. So would you be willing to come in and just do a couple of your shows, and let's just see if we can get an audience? So we came in that first summer. We did the Four Poster, which is a two-person show we had touring, and the Star Spangled Girl in July, and ran each show just for a couple of weekends and had about 30 or 40 people in the audience. I mean, it was small houses, but everybody in our company, it was called Creative Enterprises, was our touring company. We had two tech directors at the time and a stage manager. We had 11 actors who traveled with us, and we did 14 different plays that we sold. When we walked in the theater, we said, oh, wow. You know, we'd been doing the Barn Dinner Theater in Atlanta and the Lamplighter in Montgomery, and we were at the Alhambra in Jacksonville.
So load
and there
up
were
your
beautiful
stuff.
Theaters, but nothing like a 100-year-old opera house.
And you had to load up your stuff and go bring all your props and everything.
The first summer, we had a summer theater at Kiawah Island, mm-hmm. off the coast of Charleston. So we would do our shows at Kiawah, get up Friday morning, drive to Abbeville, set up Friday afternoon, do the show Friday night. We had a Saturday night show. We weren't even doing matinees, I don't think, that first year. Sunday, we were back at Kiawah. We were doing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then we decided we loved the Opera House so much, we decided that the second summer season we would come in. So we did 10 plays in 10 weeks, which just about killed us because we were splitting our time up between Kiawah Island the next summer, and we had a dinner theater at Fripp Island.
Wow.
Now, Fripp Island is about as far from Abbeville as you can be.
And still be in
South Carolina. And we would get up Friday morning at Fripp. Our trailer was loaded with that show for the week. Drive to Abbeville. Set up. Do the show Friday night. Do a show Saturday night. Get up Sunday. Drive to Columbia. Unload that set because we had our offices and rehearsal facility in Columbia, South Carolina. Pick up another set. Drive to Kiawah Sunday. Do a show Sunday, Monday, Tuesday at Kiawah. Get up Wednesday, drive to Fripp, and do a Wednesday, Thursday show at Fripp. Then get up Friday and drive to Abbeville. That about killed us.
You never were bored, were you? You never got in any
trouble. No, I loved touring. Everybody said, touring, that'll wear you out. But I toured for 8 years on the road year-round, and I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, you know, once you get yourself in that mode,
right.
to go back to it now, that would probably be tough.
There's no way. Just driving from Abbeville over here to do this show today has worn me out.
That's what Betty's saying. You need to bring it here.
That's right. No, Betty, I can't. I'm just too old to do that. You'll have to come see us at the Opera House.
Well, anyways, it's a great show that's coming up. It starts this weekend, Friday night. It is the Greater Tuna. Now, why do they call it the Greater Tuna?
Greater Tuna. It's Tuna, Texas. So the radio station broadcasts throughout the Greater Tuna area. So we've got, you know, we're covering that.
Call it
so
greater
yeah,
okay.
Greater. Yeah, that is what it is.
It's, now, who's played? Who did this play? And have they done some more versions of it?
Oh, absolutely. The show was created by Jason Williams and Joe Sears and another gentleman named Ed Howard. Now, Jason Williams and Joe Sears are the actors who performed the two characters originally and created these characters and wrote the show. Ed Howard has directed them in the show. They had such success with Greater Tuna, they came up with a Christmas version called A Tuna Christmas. We've done that at the Opera House many times as well. Now they have a newer production called Red, White, and Tuna, mm-hmm. which takes place over the 4th of July, and they've just come out with a fourth tuna called Tuna Does Vegas.
It sounds like National National Vacation, you know, vacation movies,
yeah.
All those.
Yes. They have literally made a lifetime, a career of doing these roles, and they still perform them. I know every November and December they're doing Tuna Christmas in San Francisco. I've seen them perform at the Kennedy Center in Washington. I've also seen them do their show in Atlanta, but they perform in Texas. So they travel year-round doing one of the tuna productions, one or another one. And see, Red, White, and Tuna is a great summer season show.
Sure.
It takes place over the 4th of July and things. But just brilliantly funny characters that these guys have created.
So, that's terrific. You know, this is going to be a really fun play. If you're looking for entertainment, this is it. Now, I am impressed with your ticket prices here.
Well, you know, we have made a real effort to try to keep our ticket prices down. They're $17 for adults, $16 for seniors. We have not raised our ticket prices in a number of years at the Opera House, and it's probably long overdue. I can remember.
I wouldn't start it now.
Five or 6 years ago, we had entertained that idea. And then a few years ago, if you remember when the gas prices hit about $5 a gallon, that's when 6 months after that, our attendance really dropped at the Opera House. Last year was probably one of the most sluggish box office seasons that we've had since I've been there in the last 30 years at the Opera House. And it's just now turned around. This spring with Sherlock Holmes, attendance started to pick up. Michael Lamar, a magician friend of mine, kicked our 30th summer season off and had just a terrific response to his show. Wedding Bells sold out. It looks like Greater Tuna is going to be a sellout for us. So I think the cycle's turning around for us right now, and it's picking back up. But I just think this is, of all the times, this is probably the worst time that anybody could raise their ticket prices. And as a matter of fact, we're getting a great response from our audience members, and especially from our tour group people, who say, you know, one of our main competitors with what we do is Flat Rock Playhouse in
sure,
North Carolina.
Sure.
We both attract a lot of tour
tourists,
bus operators,
sure.
senior citizens, church groups, and things. And we've had a lot of church groups and senior groups who say, you know, we can come to Abbeville and see a show and have lunch or dinner for the price of a ticket to some of the other theaters, like
sure.
the Barter Theater or Flat Rock or things like that. So I think it's paying off for us. Plus, we've gotten tremendous support from our sponsors. We have underwriters who help us with our production. The last play, Wedding Bells, was underwritten by a very generous donation from Johnson Reams. And the city of Abbeville, the Department of Utilities, mm-hmm. is helping to underwrite Greater Tuna this month for us as well. And we couldn't do it without the support of our sponsors and the underwriters who really are the lifeblood of our theater.
They do. They make mm-hmm. it happen. And,
absolutely.
You know, anytime you see any of these people, you need to thank them for being part
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. We thank them before every show. We acknowledge them, and we'll acknowledge the city of Abbeville, the Department of Utilities, Public Utilities, before the show, and we ask the audience to give them a big round of applause, because if it wasn't for them, they'd be paying a lot more for their tickets.
Well, that's true, but not only that, that air conditioning sure is nice over there,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, man, let me tell you. Yeah, utilities for us, you know, it costs us, heat and air costs us about $1,000 every time we turn it on.
That's right.
It's incredible. 100-year-old building. Our stage is 7,800 square feet. It's 75 feet to the grid. It's another 25 or 30 feet from the grid to the roof of the building. And our stage is actually on the second floor at the Opera House. We have costume storage and a costume shop underneath our stage. So when you add all of those dimensions together, it makes our back wall at the Opera House one of the largest freestanding brick walls left in the world.
Wow.
And it also makes for a space that's hard to heat and air condition.
Yeah, it's one of those old buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're going to hear South Carolina news, a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. We're talking with the very entertaining and very enterprising Michael Genevieve over there from the Abbeville Opera House. We'll be back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it SFG, that's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, or call us 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too, paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Been having a great time talking about all the things happening over there at the Abbeville Opera House, and Michael Genevieve is now. Who directed this play? Did you direct it?
I directed Tune It Too.
How did you have to? How was it to direct yourself?
It's very schizophrenic. Yeah. No, don't say that. Get that.
Mm. That has to be interesting. Yeah, how did I sound?
I started. I mean, that's not anything you'd really recommend, but I started doing that when I had a touring theater company just to save money,
right?
Actually, and I would cast a show and an actor might be with us for a year and then he would move on, and instead of bringing somebody else in, then I would step into that role.
Play the part,
a lot
yeah.
of times when we were touring and things. And I use a video camera a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll videotape
and then go back
the whole
and look
thing
at it.
And then watch it and take notes that way to see things. This is an easier show to do that with than most plays.
Because it's just the two
of us.
Yeah,
it's the two of us, and so much of it, monologues to the audience or quick little scenes and vignettes and lots of little sketches. It has a little bit of a Saturday Night Live sketch feel about it, too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
kind of like
fun,
the church
but
lady and things like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah. Isn't that special?
Well, special. Yeah. Well, I know you are excited for this show to open.
Oh, Friday night at 8 o'clock. Give us a call. We're at the box office every day, Monday through Friday from 10 to 2. The number is 366-2157. Give us a call. We'll get you some seats. And it's playing for the next, I guess, 4 weekends from July 31st on Friday. And it closes Saturday, August the 22nd.
Going to be a lot of fun. You don't want to miss it. So what's that telephone number again?
It's 366-2157. We're at the Abbeville Opera House, and just give us a call. You can call anytime though, if even in the evenings, and leave a message on the answering machine, and we'll call you back first thing next day.
I know, because I've called over there, and I tell you what, those phones must be ringing off the hook, because I've had trouble getting through.
It's been a great summer. It really has. So, yeah, if you can't get through, just keep trying, and eventually somebody will pick up, and you'll get a real-life person.
Real-life person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also have started an email list of shows and stuff that's going on. You're emailing about everything going on now, correct?
Absolutely. You know, we're doing an email newsletter now,
mm-hmm.
so you can visit our webpage. It's theabbevilleoperahouse.com and find out about all of our shows and dates and ticket prices, everything you want there. Or just give us a call or email the Abbeville Opera House. We're at operahouse, is all one word, at wctel.net. We'll put you on our email newsletter list and send you out all kinds of information about everything that's coming up at the Opera House, and we'll keep you all informed about it.
Well, that's great. Now, you know, of course, the economy's down, and of course, you're telling me that the season is doing great for you this year. What do you see for theater for the future here?
Well, I you know, theater always seems to survive in one form or another. It's right now, I think our audiences, more than anything, just would like to be entertained. I mean, they want to forget about all the troubles that
forget
they're going
about
through,
it.
Through the day. Yeah, forget about it. Yeah, you forget it. And I think that, though, a lot of people kind of look down on theater as entertainment. But I think that's as noble purpose for our existence as anything. If we can if we can bring somebody into the theater and for an hour and a half or 2 hours make them forget about all their day-to-day troubles and make them laugh and have a good time, I think that is as valid a reason to exist as anything, and perhaps better than most. So I think in order to get us through these times, we need to offer our audiences the kind of things that they want to see. And of course, that's what we do with our summer season as well. We've got an upcoming winter season of shows at the Opera House. We're billing it as an all-family season. We're going to open with a brand new show called Leading Ladies in October. It'll be directed by Brad Christie. He's a theater professor from Erskine College. It was written by Ken Ludwig, who wrote Lend Me a Tenor. It's a hysterically funny comedy. Brand new show. We're just thrilled to get the rights to that show. We're following that up with Tom Sawyer, Mark Twain's great mm-hmm. story that is good for adults and children as well. We're doing Forever Plaid as our musical in January and February. Little Women and Cheaper by the Dozen. So all the shows deal with families and are good, entertaining shows for families. And I'm hoping that's what I think our audiences are going to want to see, and that's the direction we're trying to go, at least now at the Opera House.
You know, I think that's great. But what do you think? You know, we have we were talking about yesterday. I had Hobie Ford, the puppeteer.
Oh, yes.
He was on here yesterday. And we were talking about the fact of Game Boys and all the explosive on the movies and this type of thing. And mm-hmm. what do you think about young people in theater? Can they be drawn into it?
You know, I hope so. And I think so. You know, there's nothing like a live theater experience. So many people... All of our audiences, not just young audience members, we have all been so conditioned now by television. I mean, if you look at it, you know, Shakespeare's day, the plays were five acts long. Early part of this century, the older shows, Father of the Bride, Cheaper by the Dozen, those shows were written as three-act plays. Now we take one intermission, it's two. Our attention span has right. really... dwindled.
Shortened.
It has. Yeah. It really has. And I think television has a lot to do with that, video podcasts and video games and the internet and all of that. And I think theater will have to adapt. And it is. It's adapt. I mean, shows are much... Just, for example, in Tuna, the way I have approached that show directorially this year, if I had done this in the 80s or back in the 70s, there are things that I probably wouldn't do here. We are so used to now being bombarded,
yes.
all of our senses. In the old days, I would never consider underscoring a scene, for example, with music or particularly any kind of music that would have lyrics.
Right.
If you had another scene. But we are so used to hearing and seeing that now.
Multitasking with the whole thing.
The audiences are so much more sophisticated now. You can do so many things that you couldn't do 20 years ago with an audience. So, but those are just kind of, I think, natural progressions that we kind of tend to make in the theater. But right now, I think, more than anything, people are wanting to step back. We want the Andy Griffith Show. We want a time that's not quite as frenetic and something that's a little calmer and a little more relaxing.
Sure.
At least I'm hoping to put people in the seats with that philosophy.
I'll come on next year
and let you know if it panned out or not.
Well, you know, I mean, at least we're saying that's what we want,
yeah,
right? Because we can't afford anything else.
That's right. That's right.
So it's good to know that type of entertainment, of course, Abbeville over there is really a step back in time with the square and everything.
Well,
there.
It does. It fits in. This past year, we celebrated our 100th anniversary season, and we did things like Mike Lamar kicked our summer season off this year. He was a magician. 100 years ago, there was a magician in every vaudeville company that they had, and we had just a tremendous response to that show as well. We did an old-fashioned vaudeville production to kick off the 100th anniversary season, and the response we got to those kind of things just kind of led us to believe that that's what our audience is wanting to see, so much so that Michael is he'll be coming back to the Opera House in September, so we're going to do another show with Michael, truly a world-class masked magician. Incredible. He creates magic, and he has a brand new, there's a new show this fall that David Blaine is doing. I think it's on CBS, and one of Michael's effects will be featured in that show that he's doing, that he did for us in his show at the Opera House. So,
the secret box? No, it's
a card thing. It's one of David Blaine's on this. I think Blaine's getting back into doing a little street magic more than, freezing himself in blocks of ice, or levitating and doing, he got into those kind of feats for a while, but he's going back to magic. And
do you know, in China, we're talking about on the Isle of Ann show this morning, magic is one of the most popular things they're learning over in China. Young people
Absolutely.
Are into magic.
Michael and I were talking about that this summer. He's been to China. He travels all over the world and lectures and teaches as well as performs. And there are more magicians in China than in any other country.
Sleight of hand. Look over here. Look over here. I'm taking your money over here.
Exactly.
Well, that's terrific. This has been so neat to have you here. Of course, coming up this weekend is the show sold out for Friday night?
No, we've got tickets for Friday night. Our matinee Saturday afternoon is pretty full, but we've got great seats for Friday night at 8 and Saturday night at 8. We always do two shows on Saturday, a 3 and an 8. But give us a call, 366-2157 at the box office. They'll be able to set you up with some tickets. It's a funny show. We hope to just fill the house up and make you laugh.
And make everybody laugh. And kudos to you and David for putting this together. How long did you actually work on it?
We've been in rehearsals a lot longer than our normal summer stock schedule. We started rehearsals on this show back when Michael Amar was here in June doing his magic show.
Wow.
And we rehearsed a few days every week all through June and July to get the show open. And then once we closed Wedding Bells, I think that was July the 18th, we came into the theater on the set on the 19th, and we've been rehearsing just about every day to pull it off.
Wow.
It's a show all about timing. And so it's just, there's no substitute for rehearsals. That's right. You've just got to do it over and over until you get that rhythm, and you get each other's rhythm, and then the audience comes in and messes it up with the laughter.
That only gives you a little break, though, right?
That's right. That's what
right.
I'm hoping to catch my breath. So please come and laugh. Even if you don't think it's funny, just come and laugh.
When you see Michael up there going, where am I going now?
Yeah.
You know you need to laugh. Give him a second there. Hey, now who all is who is behind the scenes? Who are the dressers?
Well, we each have a primary dresser. My wife, Kathy, is my primary dresser backstage. Lori Eller, David's wife, Lori, is his primary dresser. Terry Gilchrist is the floater. We call him a floating dresser. He comes, and depending on which one of us has to get out first, we'll go and do shoes or wigs or gloves or, hats, whatever is required there. Quite often, though, I'll have all three of the dressers because David's on stage while I'm backstage changing most of the time. Or he'll have all three of the dressers and I'll be out on stage doing something there as well. And then Mark Myers does the light board, and Wendy Capps is our soundboard operator as well. So we got a terrific crew, and I tell you, I can't say enough about them. They're all doing a wonderful job. And
you
we couldn't do the show. No, absolutely, we couldn't do it. It's the little people. You can't do it without them.
That's
and,
right.
No, they do a great job, and I really do appreciate everything that they're doing for us.
So it's not always about all the people on stage, is it?
Absolutely not. No, more often than not, it's the ones that you don't see.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, it's all going on at the Opera House. Opens Friday night, that's right. It's the Greater Tuna. Telephone number over there again one more time.
It's 366-2157. We're there Monday through Friday from 10 to 2. But give us a call anytime, and we'll get you some tickets. We'd love to see you.
All right. So, Greenwood, come on out to Abbeville. Have a good time. Check it out. It's going on starting this weekend, Friday night. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being here, Michael.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, Ann.
All right. This is WLMA 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk Radio.